turn to your Bibles. Bit's going to come on. Thank you very much. Okay. Our reading this morning is taken from Luke chapter 6, and we're going to be looking at verses 46 to 49 together. So if you have it in your Bibles, and you'll find it on page 1034 at the bottom of the page there. And it says this: "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When the flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete." Let's just take a moment and pray before we discover what this is. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for 2017, for the highlights, the lowlights, the things that have tested us, the things that have brought us much joy. And we bring them before you now and say, help us to reflect and help us to discover good foundation for going into 2018. So may this time glorify you. May my words not be mine, but be yours, Lord. Amen. So as we've heard from Peter, 2017 has been an eventful year, and I wanted to start this morning by highlighting some of the main events that have gone on in our world. So, first of all, some of the following has happened. We've had Donald Trump, who was sworn in as the new American president in January. We've also had greater tensions with North Korea. This seems to be a recurring thing every year, the prospect of war. We've also had the Grenfell Tower disaster, which happened back in the summer. Another trending thing on social media, we've had the hashtag MeToo movement, which has sought to bring to light sexual harassment. We've had various hurricanes that have battered parts of the Caribbean and the United States. And all that is before I've even mentioned anything about Brexit negotiations. So it's fair to say that a lot has happened in our world this year. And when I hear about these things, it leaves me thinking that life is incredibly vulnerable. Anything can happen to us at a particular moment. And it makes me think, well, as we go into 2018, and so much could happen in this new year. And so I wonder, what is it that our foundations are when we can come across so much? Because I think it's when we're faced with these kinds of situations that we hear about on the news, that it is our Christian faith, it is our hope and belief in God that he is sovereign and that he works through these situations and he works through us, which can keep us going. And that is where we can lay our foundation. That's what's been happening in the wider world, but I wonder what's been happening more locally, perhaps in our communities and in our personal lives. I wonder where and when you've seen God move in your life this year. Perhaps you've seen God move in someone else's life around you this year. I wonder what's been hard for you, what's been exciting in 2017. And so I hope that although we recognize that there's been some difficult news stories, there's hopefully also some positive ones as well. But nonetheless, this is a poignant day for us, the last day of 2017, to think about what we've learned and how we'd like to build going forward. And so as I was praying and considering what to share this morning, it was this passage in Luke which really stuck out to me, and it was put upon my heart to share with you this morning, because it struck me that as we heard through the main news stories, that I highlighted ago, we live in a world that is incredibly volatile. Our circumstances, our situations, they can change in an instant. And when that happens, what is there left for us to stand on? And so as we await this new year of our hopes and our dreams, none of us really know how 2018 will pan out. And so that's why I want us to spend some time contemplating our foundation, as well as stating how we can sustain well. So as we're looking at building, I thought I would see how good some of you are at it. So can I have some volunteers, please, especially if you are in my in one of my youth groups. So at least four volunteers, like I have four up the front, nice and quick. I want to see how good you are at building. Come on. Right. Talia? Go on, you two. Come and join me. Right. Anyone else? Two more. Go on, boys. Thank you very much. Right. Okay, so what I have here is I have a couple of trays. I'm just going to bring this out. Bring this out here. Okay, and you're going to be one team, and you're going to be another team. Yes, Davidson, good to see you. Okay, so what we have here, for those who can't see, we have some spaghetti, and we have some marshmallows, all right? And what I would like you to do is I'm going to give you 3 minutes, all right? And in those 3 minutes, I want you to build the tallest tower possible, okay, using the spaghetti and the marshmallows. All right, okay, so I'm going to give you 3 minutes, and we'll see who's got the tallest one after 3 minutes. So on your marks, get set, go. There's the timer. And whilst they're doing that, hopefully afterwards, we're going to learn something about what you need to do in order to build successfully. But in the meantime, I wonder if anybody has any advice. Anybody want to shout out some advice for them, how they can build successfully? Sorry? Build triangles. Okay, so some advice was to build triangles. Yeah? You want to elaborate on that a bit more? Like a base. Okay. Start with a triangular base. Yeah, Davidson looks like he's on that. Very good. Fantastic. Okay, anything else? Sorry? Build the foundation first. Joseph's onto something. Joseph is telling you to concentrate on the foundation first. Okay. Do you think that's happening? Is that good? Okay. All right. Anything else? Any other ideas? Make it firm. How can they make it firm? Maybe double up the spaghetti? Yeah, okay. Double up the spaghetti perhaps, boys? All right, okay. That's... Sorry? Brace? Are you in the construction industry at all? Okay. braces. So I guess put the spaghetti so it goes across. Okay. Very good. Thank you for that, Pat. All right. Anything else? Yes. Sorry? Make sure it doesn't fall off. Yes. Consider your surroundings. That's very good. Thank you. Okay. All right, let's see how long they've got. You've got a minute left, boys. You've got a minute left, okay. What should they be focusing on right now? They've got 1 minute left. What do you think they should be doing? Sorry? Make it quick was the advice. Very good. All right, make it quick. It looks like they've got something standing here. Okay. All right, let's give them a countdown. 10 seconds, okay? 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, stand back from your towers. That's what we can call them. All right, very good. Okay. Yeah, okay. Who do you think's won? Hands up for this team over here, for Talia's team. All right, very good. Hands up for this team. All right. Oh, okay. All right, very good. Give him a round of applause. Okay, stay there a second. Stay there a second. I have a quick question.
Okay, so as the winning team, what do you think the key was to building the biggest tower? To make it stable, okay? And, yeah, what do you think your key was? What was your tactic? Share with us your tactic. Add more spaghetti so it stays still. Thank you very much. Great job. Sit down, everyone. Thank you. So, that was great, wasn't it? But the trick to building the tallest and strongest tower is making sure that they had the strongest foundation. And that clearly had to happen before they could build anything on top of that. And it's interesting, isn't it, that in order to build the structure, you had to spend the bulk of the time considering your foundation. It was only really at the very end that you could start building upwards. And I think that's really quite similar in our lives as well. Because we may go into this new year thinking, I want my life to look like a certain way. Like, I want to be this kind of person. I want to have this kind of friends. I want to have this kind of relationship with God. And so we may have this idea as to what the structure of our lives, what we want them to look like, but we can't do that without considering what the foundation is, as our volunteers have wonderfully demonstrated. And so that's why this morning I want us to consider those foundations, because what if life all goes down south, right? What if it doesn't quite work out? What is it that we have left to stand on? So whatever 2018 is going to look like for us, let's make sure that we put in the time to make sure that our foundations are in place. So back to our passage. And Jesus tells us that those foundations for our life are obedience to his teaching. Okay? And sometimes we may think true obedience is being like the Churchill dog. So there's the Churchill dog. Now, Churchill is a car insurance company, and they offered a free nodding dog to everyone who brought a policy from them. And once you get your Churchill dog, you can put it in your car, and it will nod its head all day long as your car goes along, and it will say, "Oh yes," as its catchphrase. And it got me thinking, because I realized that as Christians, it can be very easy to be a bit like the Churchill dog in our life, because we may read the Bible, we may listen to teachings, and we may nod our head in agreement or in approval. We may make the occasional right sound of, "Oh yeah, I believe in what Jesus is saying." But this is all well and good, but that's not what quite Jesus has in mind when he talks about obedience. This passage doesn't allow such an approach to faith, because Luke 6, 46 to 49 is in the context of Jesus coming to the end of a set of teachings to his disciples. And in those teachings, as he's summarizing in our passage that we read this morning, he's teaching them about authentic discipleship. He's telling them how to live out their future life here and now. And he does this with some shocking teachings, and I just want us to dwell on them just for a couple of moments. Because first up, in the same chapter, from verse 20, we have what's known as the Beatitude, where Jesus says, he says, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man." What was Jesus thinking? How can we really be blessed when people hate us, exclude us, and insult us? What a shocking teaching. But he doesn't stop there, because he then goes on to tell his disciples to love their enemies. And he says just a few verses later, from verse 27, "But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, Pray for those who ill-treat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Again, this is a completely new way of living. And yet Jesus is genuinely telling his disciples to go and live like this. But he doesn't stop there, because in verse 37 in the same chapter, he then says, do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running all over, will be poured into your lap. And so these teachings, they are a completely new way of living that his disciples had never heard before. And yet Jesus is saying, if you want to survive in this kind of dog-eat-dog world, then you can't just sit there, nod, and agree, but you actually have to go and live them out. You actually have to take it upon yourself and say, yes, I own this, and I'm going to let Jesus' teachings impact my whole life. And so we see that Jesus here, he was highlighting a spiritual condition that challenged those who listened, accepted, but did not act upon teaching. And so I want to suggest that for our faith to grow in 2018, we must be obedient to these kind of teachings. We must digest them, not just nod our heads in agreement, but we must allow them to transform our lives. And so I want to challenge you with a question that I want you to ask constantly this year. And that question is, so what? Because ultimately, Jesus is putting himself here as a foundation for anything strong. And he's saying that it is my teaching obeyed by transforming lives. That is what true obedience is. So whenever we read the Bible this year, whenever we spend time in prayer, whenever we spend time in worship, don't just do it for the sake of it, but ask the question, so what? If I'm doing this, and if this is my foundation for sustaining my faith, then what is that going to mean for how I live my life, whether that be at school, whether that be at work, or whether that be at home? And I think also in this passage, Jesus gives us an example of what it looks like, because it leads on to my second point, that true obedience, it requires integrity, because obeying Jesus' teachings, not just for what people see us do in public, it's for what we do in our private lives as well. Because the other aspect of this passage, Jesus is calling out hypocrites. Because he is saying, because as he says in verse 46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? There's a clear mismatch here as to what is going on. And he challenges his hearers not to take shortcuts, not to partially build their foundations, but to do it wholeheartedly. And so, how is your relationship with God when no one else is looking? Do you just do the foundational stuff, so the praying, the reading the Bible here at church? How does it look when you are at home? How does it look when no one else is looking? Because in order to build real sturdy foundations, it requires us to have integrity to do it in our whole life, not just here now. And that's a challenge to myself. And so that was Jesus' warning to his disciples, was for them genuine. And that meant that they obeyed in all areas of their lives. And we see a clear example as to what happens if that is not the case. Now, I'm no builder, and neither was Jesus, but we all know that in order to build foundations, they must be built completely. We must build them with integrity. And Winchester Cathedral, they stumbled into some problems with the building. And unfortunately, it turned out that they did not have proper foundations. In the early 1900s, large cracks began to appear in Winchester Cathedral's massive walls. And apparently, some were even wide enough for owls to roost in. Now, Winchester, it lives in a valley of the River Itchen, And the cathedral sits on peaty soil with a high underlying water table. And so the architect that was brought in to advise how to sort this problem out was a man named Thomas Jackson. And he decided it was time for action. And his plan to stop this subsidence was to underpin the building's medieval south walls by digging trenches and then filling it with cement. And so as he tried to do this, he quickly found out that it was not possible, because as he built the trenches, they would instantly fill up with water again, and the problem still stood. So it seemed that absolutely nothing could be done to stop the collapse of Winchester Cathedral. But then the project manager, a man named Francis Fox, he had a brilliant idea, because he thought, well, if the water couldn't be held back, then why don't we just get a deep sea diver in to do the work for us? And so that's exactly what they did. They had to go about it the hard way. So this is William Walker, and he was that deep sea diver. He came up from Portsmouth, where he was a diver in the dockyards. And from 1906, Walker labored under that water of the cathedral 6 hours a day, with water up to 6 meters. He worked in total darkness, just using his bare hands, trying to feel his way around the cloudy water. And as you can see, he had to do this in this huge, heavy diving suit that took ages to put on and to take off. And so when he stopped for lunch, he'd only take off his helmet, and he would apparently smoke a pipe to keep the germs away. Now, this sounds like a lot of hard work to go and build foundations that weren't done properly in the first instance. But the good news is that he did succeed in this. And after 6 years, the groundwater could be pumped out after he managed to do his work. But as we see with Winchester Cathedral, there is no way that anything can be built without that good foundation. And we see that foundation work is hard. It takes time. It takes effort. But my goodness, it's so much harder if we don't get it right the first time. The other thing about foundation work, as we can see from these pictures, is that it's unglamorous. And it certainly isn't easy. Nobody who walks past Winchester Cathedral nowadays will say, oh, aren't those foundations beautiful? We want to look to the exterior. We say, wow, aren't those fantastic stained glass windows? We often don't have any idea what the kind of foundation is that's underlying it. And so if you are going into this new year and you're not where you want to be with your faith, you may see that there are cracks in the outer building in what you show. I want to say that now is the time to consider those foundations. Now is the time to be made right with God, because it's so much harder work if we have to go back and do it all over again. And so, as always, the outside world, we want to show our faith as a sturdy structure. We want to show that we have faith that's built on rock. But if we want foundation, then it's not so much what we do in public that counts, but it's what we do in our private life as well, as this shows. And so I want to challenge you to consider afresh, what is it that you do in your private time to sustain your foundation? Where are the cracks? Where is it that you feel you need to grow in this year? How is your Christian faith different on a Sunday than on a weekday? And if it is different, how can you restore and build your foundations to make sure that Jesus isn't just one category, but he's your whole life? And so with that, we see that building foundations is an investment. In verse 48 of chapter 6 that we read, it's interesting how Jesus doesn't say if the flood comes, he talks about when the flood comes. It's almost like Jesus sees the foundation of obedience as an investment, i.e. it's worth having your foundation in place for when things don't work out. Now, in 2007, we had a great economic crash where people lost millions overnight. And when troubled times came, the shape of our economy and our banks and so on, it was all in tatters. Our economic foundation was laid bare for all to see. And to coin a phrase from Jesus, as soon as trouble came for us, it was revealed that our economics was built on sand. And so I want to encourage you this morning to see the building of these foundations. It may be hard, it may be difficult, it may feel like wasted time, but to see it as something that is really worth investing, because we don't know what 2018 is going to hold for us. Hopefully there's going to be some really good times, but there also may be some really difficult times, and we need to see it as an investment. So I'm not saying this to try and scaremonger us, but it's a fact of life. But difficult times are going to come, and we're going to need to cash in on those foundations of faith that you've built. Now, when I first received my calling to full-time ministry, I initially went to Russia, as you know. And I went to Russia on, I guess, what you would call a spiritual high. Life was good. I was on an adventure with God. I saw God do some really great things in my life and in other people's life. I was having new experiences. I was meeting new people. Life was good. I didn't need to concentrate so much on the foundation. I thought of that time of Bible study, prayer, and so on. But sometime into that stint in Russia, all of a sudden things started to change. And there were some circumstances which were out of my control, but all of a sudden relationships became strained. Ministry became hard. And a result of that was Bible study, prayer, worship times. They felt dry. They felt really difficult. It was hard to sustain the foundation. Now, it's okay to go through a difficult time, but I realized as I was going through that experience, I wished that I was able to spend that time really investing in the prayer beforehand, to not just think about the foundation when things are going bad, but to think about them when things are going well too. And so for situations like this, I learned the importance of prioritizing. And we see in verse 49 that for Jesus, this had to be a priority. The obedience, the willingness to step out and say, yes, I'm going to make this my life, it was second to none. Because we saw the seriousness of getting the foundations wrong. It meant total destruction. And so we see that building foundations on rock, we have nothing to worry about. And I hope that as we go into 2018, we can take comfort in that. That if we do seek to build from rock, we can stand in hope that when things do go bad, we have something firm to stand on. And so let's use that as encouragement, as motivation to be intentional about looking to find time to learn more about our faith. Be intentional about asking those difficult questions of the so what and why am I doing it? That we're not swept away by the metaphorical flood that Jesus is talking about. Because ultimately, the amount of time that we spend investing in relationships with God now will help you know what you need to do when those foundations are being tested, when the floods do eventually come. And I say this as well because I realize that there are some people here this morning who... this is very real. You may feel like your foundations are being tested right here, right now. And I'm sure that there are various situations and various circumstances that people are personally facing this morning. And if that's the case, then I want to encourage you to find the time to reach out to someone, to find the time for myself or one of the leadership team to get alongside you, that we can pray with you, that we can help you build those foundations, because that's what we are about. We're about getting alongside each other. Because we realize that it only takes one redundancy, it only takes one death in the family, it only takes one life choice in order to have those foundations shaken. And let me say that sometimes when we are being shaken so vigorously, sometimes victory may just be the ability to stand in your faith. Sometimes victory may just be the ability to stand. When all else falls, it's okay to just stand. And I'm sure for many of us in 2018, we'll have the same kind of foundation tested. And when that time comes, we must be there for one another. We must notice when possibly there's cracks in someone else's foundation so that we can get alongside, so that we can hold one another up. Because as Jesus shows us in this passage, we need to make it a priority. So as we grow disciples, let's continue to start this new year thinking about the how we build as well as the what. So we can conclude from this morning that superficial knowledge of Jesus won't cut it. There is no room for complacency when we're looking to build foundations, when we're looking to have things in place for our faith. Because in a world that is ever-changing, with new stories, with news, with breaking news that's happening, it is our relationship with Jesus and the hard foundation work of knowing, digesting, and applying Jesus' teaching that's going to sustain. And it's Jesus' radical teaching that's going to help us build. It's what we can build our hopes, our dreams from as we go forward. So let's not settle for anything mediocre. Whenever you hear a teaching, whenever you read a passage, whenever you spend a time of prayer, always ask the question, if this is true for me, then so what? How is this going to change how I live my life? So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to move into a time of communion together. Father God, we thank you. Thank you for passages like this. We thank you, Lord, that you are the firm foundation for everything that we can build on going into 2018. And even though foundation work is hard, even though it's hard graft, help us to not lose sight of it. Help us keep our eyes focused on you, to ask questions of so what, to spend the time investing in Bible study, in prayer, in encouraging one another, so that we can continue to grow to be the kind of people that you have called us to be. We ask this in your name. Amen. With those who are coming to serve communion, if you could come and join me on the platform, please.